Hello everybody, welcome back to my channel. I am George from Ireland. It's just over 5 years since the first coronavirus lockdowns. Obviously, in the Republic of Ireland, we did them slightly different times from the rest of Europe. And then, you know, North Britain, South Britain, Mid Britain, West Britain, all did it different times. But I live in South Britain. And so the 26th of March, when that came in. So don't want to go through all the particulars of that. I do remember hearing the first coronavirus in the United Kingdom. I remember hearing about it in November, the previous November, and it was kind of a petty thing in China, wasn't really going to spread, because I remember SARS 2003, severe acute respiratory syndrome, I remember avian flu, swine flu, there was the Middle East respiratory syndrome and stuff like that. And they came to the British Isles, killed about a dozen people, that was it. Okay, terrible pity for that person, but in the grand scheme of things, it was not very significant for public health, for somewhere like 75 million people live. But this one was different, and I hadn't realized that. And then it came over, and then I remember when sort of 55 people had died, not in one day, in total, and somewhat shrugging it off, visiting Edinburgh, starting to get a bit worried. And then Boris Johnson, we're not going to have lockdown, we're not going to have lockdown. And all of a sudden, England was. Notably, the United Kingdom, the countries, if you will, of the United Kingdom, did it severally. The Republic of Ireland were a unit. Obviously, we didn't coordinate with the UK, despite our porous land border with the United Kingdom. Fascinatingly, it was like 26 days after Brexit was completed. A lot of the economic malaise since then suffers from this problem of attribution. To what extent is it attributable to coronavirus, and to what degree is it consequent upon coronavirus? So the lockdowns came in, and Boris Johnson was too little too late. I mean, they say New Zealand narrowly avoided this, but the disease was just metastasizing because of the contagion and so forth. The rules had to be written very, very hastily with the Coronavirus Act. The Irish Republic were foolish enough to allow some Six Nations rugby games to go ahead. The United Kingdom did similar things. The Cheltenham Gold Cup, a super spreader event, that's a horse race there is in Gloucestershire, and so forth. Anyway, finally, we're out of that. It took almost, well, it took just over 2 years to be fully out of it. In the UK, just after Her Britannic Majesty's Platinum Jubilee, well, sorry, just before it, that's when all the restrictions were finally gone. I remember making forecasts during coronavirus lockdown, what would be the long-term consequence? And I thought it would be largely the death of the office, not totally, but offices would be down to about 20% capacity. I overestimated it a bit. They say people only work in the office on average 2 days a week. I think that's a good thing. Save time, save money, save the environment, all the energy that would go into powering your car, bus, train, whatever. Commutes are sometimes the worst time of your day. So some jobs can be done as effectively or almost effectively from home. Say, yes, but what of that loss in efficiency or whatever? But it's worth it for the saving in money and time and in pollution. So, but it has impacted sort of sandwich shops, cafes and city centres and stuff like that. And it was wonderful to go on the train, have it to myself. Sometimes lockdown got to me and I say, oh, for the days when I was jammed in like a sardine on the tube, and sort of come back to that. Fortunately, I'm quite tall, so I'm above armpit level. I don't know what it's like down there when people can't get fresh air. There's the other thing, been this sort of mental health hypochondria, where a lot of people say, oh, I've got anxiety, I'm too afraid, and slobbing around on government money has been too easy, it's difficult to wean people off. And I know mental health is real. Some people really have psychiatric disorders. But now there's a tendency to say, if anything's not going your way, you've got a mental health problem. And it's Prince Harry's done so much to spread this notion, which really is preposterous. Okay, I've been probably subclinically depressed occasionally, not because I was mentally ill, but precisely because I was saying I was in a bad situation. You know, bad job, bad relationship, living in a bad place, whatever, foolish decisions. And the answer to that is often socioeconomic or just other personal decisions you make. We have to look at holistic medicine, not overdiagnose. Now, Wes Streeting, evil, evil, mass murdering bastard that he is, even he gets it right occasionally, saying they're overdiagnosing. And okay, I've got no background in medical sciences, neither does he, but presumably he's taking advice from the experts. And that's what I know that medicine's not exact science, which is why they're often seeking a second opinion. And I know it's inexact on dosage and so forth. There are many variables to take into account. So many people not working because of that, or the NEETs, not education, employment, or training. I'm not condemnatory of an entire generation. I'm not saying that everybody in their teens and 20s is an idler. No. And obviously, they're lackadaisical people of all age groups. They're people who are just like pathetic, like wimps, just give up too easily, of all age groups that ever have been. But there are more and more of them, and they've been overindulged in people below 30. And obviously, there are some people below 30 who are fantastic, who are tough, we've got a wonderful work ethic, and that is laudable. So not tarring everybody to say the same brush. But I remember speaking to a city solicitor about this, saying he started in the late 80s, and they work you to the bone. You're going to do a 12-hour day at least, so every other weekend compulsory, sometimes all-nighters. Wow, wow. You know, a 60-hour week. Was you're lucky if you got away with that. 70 or 80 sometimes. And he said the young sisters, they just won't do it. No, I've got to say, well, I do accord them a certain level of respect for not being pushed around and sticking to the contract and actually having a life. And previously, the unwritten contract was, well, if you want this astronomical salary, you're going to have to work yourself to the bone. And they're saying no to that. They're standing up for themselves. So there are these long-term consequences. Unfortunately, sort of world travel has gone back. Coronavirus wasn't used to the max it should have been, because as the roads and railways were hardly ever used, there's a once in a generation chance to really sort those out. You could close major roads, railways, bridges, tunnels and so forth without inconvenience to too many people. Remember, for 3 months, there was virtually no travel. And so that came over. There was almost no emigration about 2 years, which is the first year was fully over. 2023, we got like 3 years worth in a single year. So a lot of money was spent to prevent the economy from collapsing. Rishi Sunak was very popular in the short term, less popular, had to be paid for, as Sir Vince Cable said to me in an interview. And of course, that led to a spike in inflation, which has only finally gone down. Putin allowed him to husband his forces to perfect his plans, possibly him in isolation, surrounded by his camarilla, reinforce his delusions. And then he was ready to strike in, when was it? February 22, when coronavirus was almost over. But he didn't want to mass forces too much before that, because the possibility of spreading the disease over much, you know, Turkmenistan, the only country in the world claimed they never had a single case. North Korea is closed for years. By the way, coronavirus is still going on. People are still catching, people are still dying of it, but very, very few times. Partly we just got bored of it. Was it an overreaction? I mean, I suspect it was, not at the beginning. I think the restrictions were too severe, went on for too long. I tend towards libertarianism. I tend to favour the individual's rights over the common weal. But obviously, public health is public. Disease has no respect as a boundaries. It can pass from one person to another. You can also collapse the public health system. If I need to go to hospital about whatever, but doctors and nurses can't see me because they're inundated with coronavirus patients, that impacts me. And that's why an abridgment of a person's autonomy, in this case, is permissible and proportionate. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.